Quarterbacks, quarterbacks moving all around the country. Who's going to be in the next best spot for them? Who are other players that need some redemption and just might get it? And who are the rookie quarterbacks that you want to have on your roster, either or, with John Harris coming at you today on Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I'm your host, former NFL and AFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And of course, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Tracy from Rogue Analytics. And y'all know what it is, man. It's Wednesday. So we got our guy, John Harris from footballtakeover.com. And of course, he also covers a team in Texas, Houston, Texas. All right. Houston Texans. Excuse me. All right. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And, you know, as I was saying that and, you know, talking about, you know, who you're covering and where, and obviously, you know, we know about the tragedy that happened, but just a sick act of violence, you know, on children. And I don't know, it just didn't feel right without, you know, I mentioned Texas and I'm like, gosh, like just what happened there. So prayers to go out to all the families that were impacted by that. I know the nation now is kind of terrified to even just send your 5 and 6 year old kid to school, you know, and it's tough. I don't know what the answer are. You know, we're not going to get into a lot of that stuff, but just prayers go up to everybody out there in Texas and in that community that was impacted by that. But redemption season going on. We had a lot of movement at not just, I mean, we're going to talk about quarterbacks today, but not just quarterback. I mean, it was all over. But definitely on quarterbacks as well, and quarterbacks who have to kind of revamp their stock. All right, there are quarterbacks, a couple here, and I got a few listed here, Spencer Rattler, and we'll talk about him first. But this is a guy who, if you would have said before the 2021 season, a lot of people would have thought, like, yo, number one draft pick, top five, top 10 draft pick, right, without a doubt. Next thing you know, he has a rough patch where he's getting benched and they're playing Caleb Williams and kind of back and forth. And then he ends up transferring out of Oklahoma and heads over to South Carolina. So definitely as we get into our redemption series here, that's the first guy we have to touch on. So what are we expecting for a guy going from where he's at? And what are the issues that he's having? Because I feel like, I don't know how much of, you know, QB1 you guys watched of that show that they had.
Yeah.
And he was a quarterback and he was kind of featured. Like, but I know ever since watching that, I'm like, this kid's a little different. You think that's something that kind of impacted him at Oklahoma?
Yeah, absolutely, Eric. I think it absolutely did. I think that reputation stayed with him as much as he worked to get away from that situation. And I think there was also obviously that Caleb Williams, you know, specter looming for Lincoln Riley. And when things didn't go right for Spencer, whether it's true or it's not, I think the perception was, hey, when things get tough for Spencer Rattler, the first thing he does is get into defensive mode and just lash out and, you know, and at times pout and maybe not be a great teammate. That's the perception. We don't know what the reality is. I mean, Spencer's talked about it since he's been at South Carolina, but I think it was needed. He needed a break from Oklahoma. I think for whatever reason, I think it was internalized for the people of Oklahoma when things went wrong with Spencer that they thought about that documentary. They thought about how things ended for him at his high school there at Pinnacle in Arizona. And I think that sort of set him up in some sense for failure. Now, had he succeeded, you know, maybe you're talking about, you know, a Johnny Manziel type impact on Oklahoma. But because he didn't, and because of how things went down, I think he needed a break. He needed to, in some sense, go somewhere else where he could redeem himself. I will admit, I was a little surprised he didn't just go straight, like, forget it. I can't change the perception of me in a year. So I'm just going to the NFL. If I don't get drafted or not, somebody will sign me. Somebody will draft me late. Somebody will take a chance. So I was a little surprised he didn't go to the NFL. But going to South Carolina, I think, was a really smart thing for Spencer. His tight end went with him, Austin Stogner. He's already got a tight end there, Jaheim Bell, who was fantastic in the bowl game against North Carolina. I think there's an opportunity there for him to reset and to show the NFL scouts, hey, look, man, you can reset yourself. You can redeem yourself in some way, shape, or form. And if he does it at South Carolina, I think the scouts will say, look, that man faced adversity, and he came through the other side of it a much more mature player, a better quarterback, a better leader. And maybe our guys in the locker room won't be so quick to write him off as maybe he was written off in Oklahoma. So I'm really curious to see what Spencer does. Look, the dude didn't forget how to throw the football. He didn't forget that. He's always been able to throw the football with the best of them. It's just a matter of when things started going sideways in Oklahoma, he couldn't stop that train. But at South Carolina, if he's able to kind of just slowly build into it, yeah, the expectations will be high, but he's definitely got some weapons around him that can help him redeem himself in 2022.
I think it'll help his stock, too, because you don't have the Lincoln Riley factor. If he's going to do it, he's got to go do it on his own with a different staff, obviously a staff that he's familiar with somewhat. And that's okay, but you're not getting top-tier weapons. You're not getting top-tier quarterback coaching. So if he can do it and lock it down, I think it does bode well for what his stock will be next season.
Now, when you say his stock, and we're talking about that, and if we are projecting this guy to head to the league, you know, what does he have to do to potentially be a top 10 pick in as a quarterback and at least get viewed in that light? Because, you know, we talked about it a week or so ago when we started going over some of the players that are coming out in this upcoming draft or potentially coming out. And we listed off about, what, 7 quarterbacks, I believe?
Yeah, a ton.
Spencer Rattler was not one of them.
No, nope, he was not.
So what does he have to do to really get into that conversation? You know, what are teams going to start to look for? Is it just as simple as really just a level of maturity, you know, better decision-making? Obviously, we see he has talent. He's not the biggest of guys. So what in your eyes, Ryan, and we'll go to you, do you want to see from Spencer Rattler to say, you know what, okay, this is the prospect that people thought they were going to get coming out this year?
For me, it's 2 things. And I do think that he has some really interesting weapons, some guys that are good players. Can he elevate them? Can he be the guy that raises the play of everyone else? If he can do that, I think that bodes well for what the league will think of him. But at the end of the day, it's also got to be the other thing for me. He's got to be the reason they win games. He can't be they won with him. He's got to be the reason to overcome what he's already done, in my mind.
And I would add to that, Eric, the one thing that I would add to that, because Ryan's dead on. I think the third one is, even though he is still in college, he's got to show a level of professionalism that is expected of a guy to lead an NFL team in the next year or two when he comes to the league. Is he showing that? Because his reputation precedes him. We all saw it on QB1. We all heard about it when he got out to Oklahoma. We know how things went down when Caleb Williams, you know, took over. Has he matured to a point where he can be that professional that he's left, you know, whatever NIL or whatever else aside, and he's focused on ball 100% of the time, and that's what his focus is, and he's going to come in the locker room and be that professional that listens, learns, and shuts the hell up? Because football guys, and I've had this conversation in our building in the past week or so, football guys want young dudes still to shut up and play. For better or worse, shut up and play. When you prove you can play, you'll get the respect of the vets, and then, okay, at that point, we got you. And Davis Mills, you know, in our building, I think is a great example of that. I saw him the first 4 or 5 games. Now, Davis doesn't say a whole lot anyways, but he wasn't playing exceptionally well. When he got back in the starting lineup for the last 5 or 6 games, he started showing the vets, hey, man, that dude is pretty tough. He's pretty accurate with the football. We got a chance to win, and they started to rally around Davis. Now, if you walk in the locker room and you tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm QB1, I'm going to carry this organization to a different level, vets aren't going to like that, and you're not going to get them to respect you. Shut up and play, and once you prove you can play, especially Spencer, in this situation, once you prove you can play, then you'll get the vets to rally around you, and then you'll have a whole team that supports you as opposed to, well, I only support him because he's my teammate. No, you'll get behind him because he has done that. He knows his place. Be quiet and play. Prove you can, and the vets will get behind you.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that, and not just from Spencer Rattler. There are some other quarterbacks that we're going to get to right now that have to also prove that they can play on the field. So that's coming up next. But first, we definitely want to talk to you a little bit about our friends over at Athletic Greens. All right, Athletic Greens, guys. I mean, you talk about gut health and some of the things that, you know, is really important when it comes to that. That's something that I've started to pay a little bit more attention to as well. I have a wife. She's a registered nurse. So she talks about gut health and how important it is. And AG1, that's the one thing that you can consume on a daily basis that's definitely going to help improve that. All right. You know, I personally love it because, you know, the taste of it, not bad there. It's easy. I have the droplets. I put those in my mouth first when I first wake up. And then I go ahead and have a little bit of that shake. I take some of the powder, put it in about 8 ounces of water. It goes down smooth, and I got my daily vitamins that I need for the day. All right. It's a lifestyle, and it's very friendly. Whether you eat, you know, whatever diet you have, paleo, vegan, dairy free, gluten, it's going to help with all that. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar. All right. No GMOs, no nasty chemical or artificially anything in there. All right. While, you know, it's still tasting solid, and it supports better sleep quality, recovery supports, mental clarity, you know, alertness. All those things are definitely much more on point since I've started to take AG1. All right. You know, people take some kind of multivitamin, and it's important to choose the one that's, you know, high quality and has the right ingredients that your body will actually absorb. And AG1, you know, it's a small micro habit with big benefits. It's the one thing that you can do every single day to take care of yourself. You know, and your subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is so important to add these days, especially during the cold months, the warm months, depending on the state that you live in. And it doesn't get much better than this. All right, right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with the convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every single day. That's it, just one scoop. All right, no need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. All right, you need AG1. And right now, to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune system supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packets with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NFL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. All right, guys, we want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And, you know, Locked On Network, they have everything that you need, all sports covering your favorite team 5 days a week. So let's get into it, guys. Got another quarterback here on the docket that we wanted to talk today. Keaton Slovis, another guy. I remember sending out a message, a tweet over a year ago now around this time. I'm like, okay, who's the better quarterback out of these guys? And Keaton Slovis, he was one of the guys that I mentioned. Jaden Daniels, he was another guy I mentioned. There's also DTR. He was over there in the Pac-12. And I guess none of those guys really kind of took that next step to really make themselves a better prospect. And we didn't even talk about Jaden Daniels, how he transferred from Arizona State to LSU. That's another guy that definitely has to redeem himself. But Keaton Slovis going from USC to Pittsburgh. And obviously right off the bat, he loses a premier weapon in Jordan Addison. So, John, I want you to, you know, kind of talk us through how a losing a guy like Jordan Addison to USC, it's almost like they just swapped schools, yeah. Right? But you lose Jordan Addison, a premier weapon, 100 receptions, 1,600-yard receiver, 17 receiving touchdowns. And then now, like, well, I still have to play at the highest level to hopefully improve my draft stock. What are you expecting to see from our guy Keaton Slovis?
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, losing Jordan Addison's, you know, one thing. Losing Mark Whipple's another. Now, that happened before Slovis ended up going to Pitt, I believe. But Mark Whipple did a great, great, great job. He is an alum of the greatest university on the face of this earth, Brown University. So I love me some Mark Whipple, but he did a great job with Kenny Pickett at Pitt. And that, you know, I have a couple of friends of mine that are local hosts, and they always chuckle at, you know, nobody's talking about guy. Well, nobody's talking about the impact of Mark Whipple not being there for Keaton Slovis this year. But that said, I feel bad for Keaton Slovis because the last couple of years, you know, I thought Graham Harrell's going to end up being a good coach, but, you know, from having Lincoln, the opportunity for Lincoln Riley, which he wasn't going to be a fit because Riley wanted to bring in Caleb Williams. If Williams wasn't a factor, I'd be curious to see what Slovis is going to be able to do with Lincoln Riley. But I think Slovis has to go to Pitt. Okay, there's no Jordan Addison. At least there's time, and he spent the spring throwing to a lot of guys not named Jordan Addison. And I know the timing of it is tough. Addison leaves now, and you don't know. But Slovis has to do what he did at USC, and that was deliver. He doesn't have the greatest arm, but he can be very accurate with the football. Deliver the football to the open guy. Whoa, easy, John. Don't get too crazy with that analysis, but that's really what it is for Slovis. He's not going to wow you with arm strength. He is not going to be able to, oh, look at that Malik Willis throw. No, that's not him. His game is delivering the football to his guys and letting them make plays up the field. Throwing the ball to Drake London, putting it where Drake London could go get it on 50-50 balls. To his slot receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown was there. He get him the ball in the slot and then let St. Brown do things after the catch. Slovis isn't going to wow you with any physical traits. But what he can wow you with is his quickness with delivery, the accuracy with ball placement, and those things. And in Pitt, that does get a little sketchy at near the end of the year because the weather starts changing, and, oh, boy, that can get a little dicey. But if Slovis gets into a rhythm with what he's got on campus, I think he'll be able to weather the storm without Jordan Addison. Does it hurt? Sure. I mean, you lose an All-American receiver. Of course, it's going to hurt. But if Slovis is all that, a bag of chips, then I think he's going to be able to show that he could survive without him. And to our point about Spencer Rattler, I think the scouts are going to understand that for Rattler, the adversity was leaving Oklahoma and having to sort of reinvent himself, redeem himself at South Carolina. I think for Slovis, it's, okay, your redemption season is you left USC to go to Pitt thinking you would have Addison. You don't. How can you then show us that you can deal with that adversity? And if you can deal with that, hey, they won't be interested in you at that point to come to the NFL.
And Pittsburgh also lost Brendan Marion, who was a big part of that receiver group and getting those receivers, you know, right over there. He left to Texas, going. He's in Austin now for the Longhorns, coaching there, and he's, you know, trying to get Jordan Addison there. It didn't quite work. But Ryan, what are you looking to see from Keaton Slovis?
Just take what you can take. Be what you can be, so you can show the NFL what you're going to bring into their rooms. Like you said, be accurate. Show pacing. I want to see you be able to move, get the ball out quick. If you're not going to have the threats that you had hoped, okay, you got to deal with it. So what do? You distribute the ball. You attack the defense in a way that you as the quarterback are able to do and let your guys run after that point. And there's not much else that you can do. But take that offense into your own. You have enough experience in Slovis that I think he can then meld what he needs to do into what that structure is and really show that he's able to captain a group that maybe is underpowered but still has to move the ball. And if they can be successful with that, I think it helps him a lot.
He's definitely a guy. He reminds me a little bit of Josh Rosen, right, when he was coming out of UCLA. And they kind of have that similar kind of build where they're a little wiry. And they have, you know, I think Slovis is a little bit more athletic, like barely, not by much. But his ability to make all the throws when he first got in there, it was really good. But I don't know what happened. And, you know, the whole situation with him, Jackson Dart, it was like, okay, which quarterback are we going to go with this week? Then Dart got hurt. So I opened the door back up for Slovis. But with all the weapons that he's had, and he did throw to, I believe, what, Michael Pittman, St. Brown, and, gosh, there's one more receiver. Drake London. I mean, you've had some three big-time receivers at the collegiate level who really kind of dominated their opponents. And even then, I mean, gosh, at one point he had all three of those guys in the same room. All three receivers, and still a little tough for him to take that next step. We're going to see if this next guy could take that next step. All right, Bo Nix, quarterback, who's going from Auburn, heading west. All right, is he going to help? But first, I want to talk to you about our good friends over at BetOnline and how, you know, our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs. Find the latest odds, news, sports development, including this year's basketball playoffs. And speaking of basketball playoffs, who has the best odds right now to win the NBA championship? Go ahead and maybe you want to put a little bit of money on Golden State Warriors. They are minus 165 right now. All right. Where's the good money? I'd say maybe Boston Celtics at plus 210. That's a good little bet I might be willing to put money on. If you are going to do that, you need to head over to BetOnline right now and do that. It is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head over right now to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action going on at BetOnline, where the games start. All right, so we are down to our last guy that we wanted to discuss, Bo Nix. All right, and Bo Nix, a terrific dual threat quarterback out of Auburn, a guy who is a highly sought after high school prospect, one of the better ones in the nation when he was coming out. And it just hasn't materialized the way I think that Auburn thought it would. You know, this past season was the first year that he completed over 60% of his passes. We're talking about a guy who has a career high 16 touchdown passes in the season. And he did that as a freshman. All right. So, I mean, he's kind of regressed every year since. Now, again, dual threat. You want to talk about him maybe being at Auburn, and maybe the offense that Auburn has played is kind of tended more towards the running game. But a guy with the type of ability that he has, you would think that they would be able to expand on the passing game with him, but it just never got to that point. And now he heads west. So, John, we'll start with you. What are you expecting to see out of Bo Nix as he goes to Oregon?
Well, I think the biggest thing that Bo Nix has to do is he gets to Oregon. And obviously Oregon's had some change with Dan Lanning going there, Mario Cristobal moving on. You know, Joe Moorhead was the offensive coordinator. I really, for Bo Nix, I really wanted Joe Moorhead to be the offensive coordinator for Bo Nix in Eugene. But Moorhead took the Akron job. I think Bo Nix would have fit that offense pretty well. But what Bo Nix has to prove is that he can do things in structure. Everything Bo Nix did, when you got excited about Bo Nix, I think it was the LSU game in particular, he was making things happen, crisscrossing the field and off platform, and he's avoiding tackles and breaking tackles, and he's making throws. He's got to prove he can do things within structure. I mean, he's already have one thing working against him, and that is he transferred from SEC school to Pac-12. So, oh, you lit up a Pac-12 defense. Ooh, whoopee. He's going to have to prove that he can do that from structure consistently. When he does that, then I think the NFL scouts will say, okay, I like that, because we know you can do it off platform. We know that. But can you do it within structure? That, I think, is going to be the biggest thing for Bo Nix with Oregon. He's lost C.J. Verdell, Travis Dye transferred to USC. So run game's going to be a little dicey, but his offensive line, a lot of those guys are coming back. That will help Bo Nix out in Oregon. So he's got to do it within structure.
And he's got to make good decisions. That's the number one thing with him. Not just when to run and when not, but where he puts the ball. He's got to make that decision tree come cleaner and come faster for him. If he does those two things, he's got a shot.
I mean, those are the things that he has to hope to continue to improve on. And that's what the NFL wants to see, right? This is all about guys heading, you know, redemption. Right? Like, how are they going to improve on wherever their draft stock is, and what forced them to leave their universities in the first place? I think Bo Nix is a guy who possesses all the talent in the world, from, you know, like height, weight, speed type guy, you know, the athleticism that's there, having the big arm. There's one play I just can't get out of my head. He was playing against, I believe it was Alabama, rolling out to his left, and he just made this perfect throw on a move to his left. I don't even know how he got the ball out of there, but it was like the quickest of releases, dropped the ball in there at the most perfect spot. But can you be more consistent doing those things? Because every quarterback can do it, right? Every quarterback can show you that they can make the different type of throws that are necessary to be able to play at the NFL level. But how consistent can you be at it? I think that's the one area where Bo Nix, he's definitely going to have to improve on. Now, are we going to see a new look run game from Oregon, or new look passing game? I mean, we saw some of the struggles that they had at the quarterback position last season, where, I mean, that was a team that was primed to be able to, you know, legitimately dominate. And I think the quarterback kind of held them back just a little bit, to the tune of them really getting their butts kicked later in the year. Can Bo Nix kind of help put them over the hump? Because right now, I think a lot of people are circling USC Trojans as a team that's going to win the Pac-12. I mean, they're new. They have a lot of moving pieces. I think Oregon still should be in place. I know they lost Cristobal, but they should still be, you know, looking to really kind of dominate the Pac-12. Do you see that happening, Ryan?
I don't. At the end of the day, I don't. I need to see it. I'm hopeful, but I'm not confident. So show me something. It's got to be something that's proven. I'm not going to buy into it yet, but I will say that I am hopeful for it.
And John?
I think hopeful is a good word. I mean, Oregon's going to be very good on the lines. Brandon Dorlus on the defensive side, I think, is excellent. The linebackers and Flo and Sewell are going to be very, very good. But Bo Nix is the one piece that can put them over the top. And if he's consistent within structure and makes good decisions, Oregon could be very, very good. But again, it's a defensive-minded head coach, and that always impacts – in offense, especially in the first year.
I strongly can see it. Bet Online had any odds for us right now. Not seeing anything just yet, but that would definitely be something to keep an eye on in this football season. See, hey, who is going to win the Pac-12? SEC, all these conferences and more. We're going to talk about a lot of that stuff in the upcoming weeks. But that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On NFL Draft. We want to thank you for really joining us today. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave reviews, all that good stuff there. From John Harris, Eric Crocker, Ryan Tracy, we will see y'all tomorrow. Peace.